You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you. Friday before the Memorial Day weekend, Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thanks for making us part of your day here. As I think everybody tends to be in a good mood. Friday before a three-day weekend. If you're not leaving early today, you need to rethink that plan. That's right. Rethink that plan. Okay? So, just so you know, were you still on active duty? And those of you who are, I don't need to say this because you get it. You got your 72 going, right? Normally, that's not enough. Okay? Got to get out early on Friday. All over the Marine Corps, they'll show up to work today. They'll do safety checks on vehicles, fill out their little paperwork that they do now. And then, in the good units, they'll be gone. Okay? Because nothing kills morale more than some jackass commander holding people late on a swoop day. That's right. Nothing just absolutely positively kills it like that. So let's hope that they have a good enough sense to do what they're supposed to do. Now let's back to you. If you don't have good enough sense to enjoy your afternoon and get an early start, then you need to sit down and have a long talk with yourself. Okay? All right. What's going on today? Mike Pence just took the stage at United States Naval Academy, and he will be handing out, I guess, diplomas to newly commissioned ensigns and second lieutenants at the United States Naval Academy. So the vice president, his own son, and first lieutenant down at Pensacola learning how to fly.
He goes back, and so that's going on right now. Blue Angels just did their own flyover,
and if you're looking for something to watch, Secretary Kelly will join Fox News Sunday. Yeah, so don't be afraid to to check that out. Ohio man just said, unless you have duty over the weekend. Yeah, if you got duty on a holiday weekend, one of two things. Either you're a good dude, your family's out of the area, and so you did it so somebody else didn't have to take it. In that case, you're to be commended, because you still get 2 days off. Or you got jammed. In that case, you're a shitbird. So either one of those cases. Now, if you're just normal pedestrian and it happened to fall on you, come on, man. What kind of unit is that? And I think that you need to look around, because there are guys that, I mean, come on, they're not doing anything. No family around. So, and I think that's also a sign of a bad executive officer who assigns duty. He should look for that. Hey, who doesn't have family that's going to be in the area doing nothing? All right, I want to see those officers and staff NCOs. So that's the program here, fans. And it's all kind of goes together in terms of taking care of people. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a little story here. It only reflects well on you as a command. Yeah, your credibility. Right, when word gets out that, hey, XO is looking for anybody who doesn't have family in the area, doesn't have big plans, trying to fill out the duty roster for XYZ weekend, everybody's like, you know what, he's not such a jackass after all. And people respect that. And then when you have to jam them, they're more apt to take it well. I think it's all part of the, give and take that is a part of good leadership. And you know what? And the rank and file, hey, at least they know you're trying. So
So when you can't make it good, they know, look, if he can make it good, he would. He can't. So somebody got to suck it up. I think that's part of being a good leader. I want to thank Ty Edwards for coming on yesterday. You know, our tribe that this little endeavor is devoted to is pretty cool. And it's, for that reason, I love doing this. Gunshot wound to the head, enters the left side, travels through his brain, and comes out the right side of his head, lodges in his helmet. 2008. And in 2017, he's doing almost a 2-hour radio interview. And before we did the interview, he was telling me that he was working with his speech therapist because, you know, he wanted to do well. And sometimes when he gets anxious, he can think of it something, but he has trouble saying it, even though he knows what he wants to say. So I said, well, don't worry about that. So we kind of scheduled him to come on, and then I wrote him an email and I said, hey, by the way, you can stutter, stammer, pause, it doesn't matter to us. You're part of our tribe, man. We don't care. We're simply happy you're here. And we do amputations, we do TBI, we do PTS. It's all one big happy bowl of goulash, man. We don't care. So just know that the only thing we care about is that you're here and you're going to come hang out with us. And he sent me back a nice note. He said, thank you for saying that. I said, well, it's true. Trust me. The people that listen to this program, they all get it. They're part of the tribe, man. Whether they're family members or former Marines or current Marines, we get it. And we don't shy away from, you know, walking up to somebody with a prosthetic leg and saying, hey, where'd you get that? And because we know they're part of us, more than likely, they're part of us. And, but having him on yesterday for a couple hours was cool. And just listening to, you know, what his life is like, what he's been through, is kind of what All Marine Radio is about. Our tribe, how we do it, and honestly, we don't give a shit how anybody else does it. This is our tribe. So he'll come back again, but, very, very cool to have, you know, Ty Edwards. I'll tell you, Justin Constantine's another guy like that. You know, he's shot in the head in Afghanistan as well. And I'll get Tim Maxwell on here pretty soon. But they're just awesome guys. And what they've been through, I mean, it's pretty humbling, to think of, you know, of Ty's life. Not only Ty's life, but we have to get the lovely Anna on. That's right. We got to find out why she went to 29 Palms. That, like I said, that's straight up love. So, yeah, I was laughing yesterday going up to Morongo Base. Had never been up there before from Florida. Yeah, used to green. Come over that little hill right by Yucca and see that big basin. Like, are you kidding me? What is this? That's right. Hey, she's in love, okay? That's what you call that, straight-up love. But, no, so I just wanted to say thank you to him for coming on today. And then I heard from, when I was a company commander, my XO, Danny Hicks. He's another Auburn man, as Ty is. But Dan's a good dude. Got a nasty-looking beard now, though. But we're coming up on a year, which is kind of hard for me to believe. But yeah, a year of doing this. And so just yesterday, very cool program. We're going to talk to the All Marine Radio chef here in a few minutes. Kim Holmes is going to join us. We're going to talk about food. There's a few stories in the news that I should mention, if were I you, I would take a look at them. The first court-martial at Parris Island, drill instructor found not guilty. Not a whole lot of details in it, but interesting. You know what? And honestly, surprising. I don't know. I had a philosophy as a company commander. Nobody comes in here and gets found guilty. If somebody comes in here and gets found guilty, I'm going to have somebody's ass. I'm going to have somebody's ass. Okay? Because if you don't know that they're guilty, don't write a charge sheet. It's contrary to good order and discipline. It makes us look like jackasses. So I have to tell you, I am surprised that normally it doesn't say what level court-martial it was. So details will come out about that. There's another story that says Parris Island hazing investigations revealed juvenile prank. So Jeff Schogel, who was on the program this week, he wrote an article about let's see, six different investigations into abuse at Parris Island in 2016. And it's just stupid stuff. Recruits complained that they were given cough drops that were used by other recruits. Turns out to be false. It's just what other recruits were saying. They were told to smear hand sanitizers on their chest. In fact, that wasn't what they were told. It's what one recruit told another. So stuff like that. Anyway, that in the news. And then also a story about the Marine Corps readiness. I can get to these. I'll tell you the one story though that is in the news today. That's in the early bird. That I don't know. To me, I haven't seen enough, and I've invited them on the program, and they've declined. Senator Chuck Grassley released a report on the Wounded Warrior Project spending. The report is 500 pages, and he says that Wounded Warrior tells people that they spend 80 cents of every donor dollar on programs for veterans. Grassley said it was only spending about 68% of donor dollars on programs for veterans. Now, I think most of us know giving to combined federal campaign, anybody who's more than 5%, you look at with a jaundiced eye. And the number that Wounded Warrior, you know, Project deals with is incredible. So I guess more to follow from that. But I would recommend that to take a look at that. So with that said, as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. Now, a couple things I would recommend to you. Read the Gettysburg Address today sometime. Lincoln's admonition to us, okay, in the last paragraph of the Gettysburg Address, okay, is what I would recommend focusing civilian friends on. And so I got to thinking about this yesterday, and the last paragraph is this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, nor can we consecrate, we cannot hollow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor remember what we say here, but can never forget what they did here. It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here thus far so nobly advanced. Now, to me, that sentence right there, it is for us the living. I would say, to rededicate ourselves here to the unfinished work. They who fought here, and thus far so nobly advanced. It's for us here, living, to rededicate ourselves to the idea of our country, to be involved and serve in our communities. To me, that's the message of Memorial Day. It's honoring their sacrifice. I tell my kids all the time, this country didn't get to be what it is because nobody gave a shit about it. It was not their dream at the age of 18 or 19 to be in a national cemetery with a piece of marble above their forehead. That's not what they dreamed about. But they went and they served, and they sacrificed for this country. What do you owe them? What is your duty to them and your country? It's to serve in your community, to volunteer, to give food to the food bank, to give clothes to the homeless shelter, to be a part of your community. So, I don't know, for whatever reason, this got in my head yesterday, and the Gettysburg Address, bing, popped into my head. So, without getting too heavy, I think grab the Gettysburg Address at some point today and read it. And the last paragraph where Lincoln talks about to be dedicated here to the unfinished work. To me, that's what everybody owes those members of our nation who've died in our wars to preserve our way of life. What do we owe them? To say thank you for your service? To say grace and mention them over the course of Memorial Day weekend? I don't think that's what we owe them. Although those are certainly, you know, proper and, but I would say instead of saying thank you for your service, serve. So that we can thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for coming out here and picking out trash. Thank you for helping homeless people. Thank you for volunteering at Special Olympics. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So to me, we as veterans have a little bit of an obligation to educate. And I would tell you to be an evangelist, okay, and spread the word. This is not about Veterans Weekend. This is not about service to the nation. This is about those who've given their lives. And give that a thought. Think about what you owe them, and what you owe them is service. Service to your community. You don't have to serve like they did. You don't have to contribute like they did. But in some way, shape, or form, you need to serve. Because our nation is a great nation because people care about it. And you gotta serve. So, with that said, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you.
Ooh.
I love that.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Check the weather and then get the chef here. Gettysburg Address, man. Lincoln rips it on that thing. Much written about where he came up with the different lines and things like that, but I guess we'll never know. Currently, cloudy and 70 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune, sunny and 75. Granbury, Texas, partly sunny, 81. Big Timber, Montana, home of Montana Man. How about Montana? You knew the dude was going to get elected once he body slammed that reporter, right? He did. There you go. A new era in media relations in Montana. Well, boom, slam the dude, win in a landslide. Big Timber, Montana, 45 degrees under partly sunny skies. 29 Palms, 66 and sunny. Pendleton, 62 and cloudy. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, clear, and 72. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 73. At the home of, Fallujah, 103 and sunny at the home of All Marine Radio. Mostly cloudy, 62 degrees. Winds out of the northeast at 1. Looking for 70 degrees around the west coast today. A little bit cooler. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. The All Marine Radio head chef joins us next as we continue on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. You looking for a good gift? Here you go. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Robosoft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSource. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Globalsoft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Globalsoft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook, go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
7:32 on a Friday. Mike McNamara joined by the... just back from vacation, All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes.
Good morning, Marines everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding, man. What, first of all, tell us about your vacation. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Well, we went down to, Arizona to, Gilbert, Mesa area.
Okay.
And, stayed at this resident hotel for 2 weeks. We were down there for my wife's niece graduation. She got her PhD, her doctorate in physical therapy. And so there was a ceremony Wednesday night. We got in on Sunday night and Saturday night. And then Friday there was a big graduation with all the medical people and Flagstaff, Arizona. And that was a huge crowd of students.
All right.
Okay. We stayed in houses up there in Phoenix, Flagstaff. And, man, it was fabulous. Right in the woods, about 77,000 feet. Very cool.
How was the weather?
The weather was, in Phoenix was hot, and, up in Flagstaff, it was 60s, 70s, but it's still hot, and, clean air and fabulous water, drinking water, and, it was just beautiful. I love pine trees, you know. I used to go to Lake Tahoe, when I lived in California in August. It's about the only time you can go into Lake Tahoe and not, have your, you know, what's, stay up there for half a year. But it was really nice being in the, pine trees like that. But Arizona, down on the flatland, it was hot, hot, hot.
Like how?
Could have been a little hotter.
How hot?
It was in the 80s, high 80s.
Okay, that's not hot. Okay, stop it with Arizona.
I said it wasn't hot enough for me.
Oh.
I like 90 to 100 degrees myself.
Okay. All right, that's not hot either.
When Baby Shamu is in the sun and he's near water, he likes in the 90s and 100s. Because I can't bronze to a golden luster.
Oh, my God.
And simple 80-degree weather.
All right, did you, how about food out there? Did you have any, I know you love Mexican food. Did you taste anything that caught your palate or no or what?
Yeah, there was a Mexican, restaurant, in Gilbert that we ate in.
That well.
And I had a Chiliano. You know me, I always go for the Chiliano to test drive a Mexican joint. And, God, I've never had one like it. It had shredded, chicken stuffed inside a poblano chili. And it was about the size, it was monstrous. It was like a kid's football. I said, oh my God, I ate the whole damn thing too. And, it was stuffed with cheeses, the Menchenko, and then there was cheese on the outside and the sauce with the red sauce.
So is that how you would tell people to gauge a Mexican restaurant, order the chili relleno?
Yeah. And if it comes out, the chili rellenos I've always had before this one have been, poblano, has been roasted, peeled, seeded, stuffed with a big chunk of Manchego cheese, and then kind of closed up and then rolled in a batter, kind of like a beer batter, though it's a little lighter than that. It's
right.
An egg batter. And then you fry it in oil. And then you serve it with a tomatillo sauce or a red chili sauce. Or both. I usually have the flag that's red and green. And then you rice and beans, and I like black beans as opposed to pinto beans. But this one, that's how I judge a chili relleno, and it has the batter, has to puff up and, be really nice, and then served real hot, and it's great. But when it came out and it had all that, but it was stuffed with shredded chicken, and it was so damn big, I said, what the hell is this? And when I cut into it, the cheese ran out, but then I hit chicken. And I thought, oh my God, I'm in the front row. And, geez, it was phenomenal. It was called La Rista Restaurant. It was, A new Mexican, kind of like a New Mexico restaurant, but where chilies is the king, green chilies. And, but it was their twist on a basic Grano. Ah. But I thought it was just superb.
Okay. All right.
And they, but, yeah.
No, you, you went into kind of a little hole there.
I did, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, 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 that's okay, that's okay. All right, the, this is a big, 3-day weekend. And, I feel like I should mention this, but, for those of you who don't know, Kim's dad flew C-47s in the Normandy, operation. And, if you ever watch Band of Brothers, I think you will never see a better depiction of what those guys went through than the depiction that they represent in that movie. Kim's dad passed away taking who to the Naval Academy?
My uncle. Your uncle. Back to the Naval Academy on Thanksgiving Day.
They're graduating as we speak right now.
Yeah.
So there's a car crash and a car accident, and Kim's father was killed. But this is for most people, and again, I already kind of gave a little, I don't know if you were listening, but I gave a little advice to everybody that, throughout the course of the weekend, educate your kids, educate your grandkids, about what this weekend is about. This is not about veterans. This is not about service to the nation. This is about those that gave their life. A life that they did not intend to give. They wanted to go on and be farmers and lawyers and doctors and businessmen and maybe not lawyers,
everything they wanted. Anything they wanted to be.
Yeah.
They had the GI Bill. Right. They had an opportunity, to be educated, to have health care, to do all that stuff without being political all of a sudden. But
right. No, and it was not their dream to be in a national cemetery at a young age with a piece of marble, but they served. And so to me, in addition to educating your family about that and reminding them of that, and in some cases introducing them to that because they may not know, this is not about saying thank you for your service to veterans over the weekend. That's not what this weekend's about. The other thing is, what do you owe them? You owe them to serve in your community.
Yes, you do.
To give food to the food bank, to give clothes to the homeless shelter, to volunteer in whatever you want to volunteer. But this country didn't get to be what it is because nobody gave a shit about it. So you have a role in that. And so it would be awesome for us to be able to say to you, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do in this community. Thank you for making it better. Yeah. And that's what we owe them. That and to vote, okay? Because that voting right is an expensive right. So again,
yes, it is.
All right. So with that said, and Kim fully introduced, let's talk about. Do you have on these big long weekends? Do you have favorites that you like to roll out when you can spend maybe a little extra time preparing them?
I usually like to. Get a porterhouse or a porterhouse is the granddaddy of all steaks. Usually it comes about 2 inches thick to 3 inches thick, and it weighs a couple of pounds for sure, 24 to 40 ounces. And I like to rub it with.
Why would you betray the ribeye steak?
Well, if you're having guests. Otherwise, you're right. Mea culpa, Mac.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Why are you gonna go porterhouse on me when you know
that? That was my evil twin who's still basking in the sun in Phoenix.
Hermie?
I'd still throw a 2-inch ribeye on.
All right, just checking.
But in fact, that's easier to cook because it doesn't have a bone in it, and you can get the butcher to cut you a 1.5 to 2 inch ribeye, and that's to serve a family of four, or Mac and his girls, but not his boy. They want their own,
Hold on. Let me stop you. What significance does having a bone in have for cooking a steak?
Well, because a bone, you can buy a ribeye with a bone in, but you're paying for the bone weight.
Oh. Okay.
And me, I don't like to pay for food I can't eat.
Exactly. Okay, in terms of cooking.
That's a great question.
In terms of cooking, because I've heard people say, oh no, always get it with the bone in. Is there any difference in terms of, you know, either flavor or cooking, whether the bone's in or out?
Yes, it is a little different flavor. It's more rare towards the bone, and it's more medium or more towards the end of the steak. excuse me. It takes a little longer for the meat to cook near the bone because the bone soaks up the heat for sure, but it also keeps it off the real direct heat.
Got it. Okay. All right. But other than that, all right. So I interrupted you. You were going porterhouse on me. And
that was a good transition. Now we're back to the ribeye.
Well, we know what to do with the ribeye. Let me tell you one thing that I badmouthed you at dinner the other night. I do not like letting the steak sit. I don't like, why do I do that? I like my steaks hot. I like them off the grill. I don't want to let them sit for a few minutes. For whatever reason, I'm not really sure why do you recommend that? I don't like that.
It lets the juices settle in the roast, the steak, the ribeye, and stay in with the meat so every bite is juicy. However, if you pull it off, knowing you, Mac, that steak, when you eat it hot off the grill, there is no reason why you don't want to do it because it's gone before it can even get warm.
Thank you. Thank you.
when because you're a serious carnivore. It is
not going to be here for much longer. Okay, I've got Jack running around like a crazy man. Okay, I've been smelling that thing, and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I will tell you, one of the things that I've taken to is grilled zucchini, and I have to tell you that talk about the one of the easiest meals ever to prepare.
Is
zucchini with fresh Parmesan cheese and some garlic salt.
Yep.
And when I say garlic, it's the kind with parsley and you know, it's not just like garlic salt.
Yeah.
It's garlic seasoning, maybe you call it. But it's that, and you can either throw those in the oven or you can throw them on the grill. Either one. I like them. I think I prefer a little bit in the oven because you get a little bit of top crust on the cheese in the oven, and that you don't get on a grill. So I'm a little bit leaning to the oven. Also, that with baked potatoes and a steak. Baked potato, Kim has taught me, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of kosher salt in the oven. Boom, done. Zucchini, cut them in half. Cheese, garlic salt, done. Steak takes about a total of 8 minutes. But the meal is absolutely, positively out of this world. Delicious.
Absolutely. I can't disagree with you on anything.
This is just me, Mike McNamara. For bang for the buck, if you want to be a lazy-ass fat man and eat really awesome food, baked potato, baked zucchini, and steak is the easiest way in the world to just rock it and lay on your ass and do nothing. Okay? Nothing.
Now, what makes that steak and the baked potato and the zucchini spectacular number one is the zucchini is very easy to cook. And if you do happen to like it on the grill, you cut it in half, you oil it, salt and pepper it, you put the cut side down, you char it, and as soon as you flip it, after you get your grill marks on it, then you sprinkle the Parmesan cheese on top and then serve it right away. Now, having said that, my focus, if I was fixing dinner for you, would be I would have some bacon cooked, chopped up. I would chop it first and cook it so it's not soggy, it's crispy bacon, and I'd dry it out, and then I'd have three dishes, one with the bacon, one with green onions diced, and one with sour cream, and then, of course, the obligatory butter, like maybe half a stick per person, and you're talking about a potato that weighs anywhere from 12 to 16 ounces per person.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on. One other thing. So that is clearly Fat Man City right there. Okay. Now let's talk about what do you recommend relative to the ribeye? Horseradish sauce, sour cream, horseradish mix. Talk about that, because now we're talking truly fat man eating right here. Awesome.
Yes.
Fat man eating. So what do you recommend with the
Amen,
ribeye?
Amen, brother.
What do you recommend with the ribeye steak? I'm salivating right now. This is great stuff.
And I just got up and I'm famished. I am probably going, after I leave you, is go down to L&M and pick up about a 24-ounce ribeye for Beth and I.
For lunch.
To do on the grill. Because it's 70 here.
For lunch.
Today is going to be.
Okay.
But
so,
anyway.
Yeah. What kind of sauce with the steak?
The sauce with the steak is, I like horseradish with a little bit of sour cream. And like, say you take a cup of horseradish, and it's got, make sure you know the heat on the horseradish.
Horseradish.
The hotter the horseradish, the better it is. Now you can buy it in the refrigerated section of your favorite grocery store. And what I used to use at Sanders was this horseradish called Thor. T-H-O-R. Like the cartoon character. And man, it was packed in a little bit of vinegar to keep it fresh, and I would add a little bit of sour cream to that and whip it up, and it puts you right in the front row. You don't want too much sour cream, because you have sour cream with the baked potato. Or you can just have it, if you're a real butch, you take a wedge of lemon. You squeeze that on the steak after it's put down in front of you, and then have a little horseradish with each bite, and a little baked potato, a little zucchini, and my gosh, you're in the front row all day long, and well after you've digested the meal, because you're basking in the glow of a meat eater's dream.
I'm more of a fan, personally, of horseradish sauce and sour cream mixed together. That's my one, it's easy to do. Two, the straight up horseradish is too much for me.
That's what I used to serve you, the horseradish sauce. You just craved it.
Yeah.
But the horseradish I used, was Thor, and it's in the refrigerated section of your case in the grocery store. But it's all a matter of how much heat you like or not. And but the flavor of horseradish with steak of any type is absolutely the way to go.
No, without a doubt. You know, the But, yeah, if you just, a little bit of horseradish sauce and sour cream, Oh,
yep.
My God. That is just, that's absolutely delicious. In fact, you know, my kids, Kim taught my kids how to do all, my kids know how to do all this stuff. So when we're getting ready to eat, one of them will go to the refrigerator, they'll pull out some sour cream and some orange red sauce, and they'll mix it up. You don't even have to say it, and they'll do it. So this is just a simple meal that takes, you're watching a ball game, you get up and baked potato, at least 2 minutes to make, right? Zucchini might take you a grand total of 5 minutes to make, and then you go start the charcoal, and as long as the meat is out and at room temperature, you know, that's it. And then all you got to do is you put a little sour cream and horseradish sauce. That's in one dish. You have Kim's talking, though, the bacon. That takes a little bit more effort. Not much.
That can be done a day before. That can be done a day before.
Yeah.
And put in the fridge, pulled out, put it in the microwave for a minute and a half, and you're in the front row.
Boom. Okay, so now you got bacon, sour cream, butter, and chives for the potato.
Amen.
No, notice that we didn't mention any salad. Yeah, no salad, man. Come on.
Salad?
No salad.
Don't even get me on salad.
Yeah, don't even get me going started on salad. You want a salad?
If you want a salad, take a head lettuce, you quarter it, you have a wedge salad, your favorite dressing, put it on. There's your lettuce
Boom.
Mix.
That's right.
And that takes even less than the zucchini.
Boy, let me
And wedges are probably, the first time I had a wedge, I was, I think, about 10 years old.
Really?
And it was a staple of the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
The wedge salad. I liked mine with Thousand Island dressing, today it comes with blue cheese.
Blue cheese and bacon.
And bacon bits, yes sir.
Yeah. I'm okay with that as long as they don't put the nuclear blue cheese chunks in the blue cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. There's
some blue cheese chunks that will knock you sideways like horseradish knocked you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do that.
There's a great Port Reyes, California, makes a blue cheese that is absolutely divine.
What's it called? Point Reyes?
Point Reyes, along the coast there. And there's a company there. I think it's Point Reyes blue cheese. You can ask in your store. Especially in California, they should direct you right to it.
Oh, I'm sure they could. Are you kidding me? The people working at the store, they'll look at you and say, what? Yeah.
Excuse me, I must be in the wrong store.
No, will you go ask an old person here where it is? Never mind, I'll do it. All right, we got to take a break. Can you hang around for a few more minutes?
I would be honored, Max.
All right.
This is a great show today. Right.
We're talking about Fat Man.
And coming back, here's the teaser for when we come back.
All right.
I'm going to teach you how to pooch your potato before you load it.
Pooch?
Pooch. Remember how I used to...
I know how to pooch a potato. Come on.
Okay. But I bet your Marines out there don't know. You don't get a surface area for your sour cream, bacon, chives, and butter.
Hold on. I'll read you an email.
Okay.
I'm, no kidding, sitting here listening to you two jackasses salivating. When Kim mentioned sour cream, chives, bacon, and butter on a baked potato, I think I drooled on my keyboard. I'm headed to the store. I'm all about Fat Man eating. Going to watch the Orioles today and eat some Fat Man food. Thanks, boys.
The service is our life.
Exactly. More of a all.
We were both born to serve. What can I say?
More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Bolasoft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Globalsoft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They're a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted ranks. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted rank. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website at MarineCorpsMustang.org, or you can find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them there. Most importantly, join their association and help them continue the great work that they do. That's the Marine Corps Mustang Association. Join it today.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .02 on a Friday. Getaway Friday for a lot of people. Hitting the road. You're going to be out there driving. Don't text and drive, okay?
Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, let somebody else do the texting. You just drive. Or if you have to.
And don't be talking on your cell phone and driving either. Please. They have something now on new cars called Bluetooth. Dig it. Life's a garden.
Well, you're still talking on your cell phone.
But you got both hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road.
All right, that's the key.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So if you have to talk, Bluetooth it. All right. You know what? The whole world's on their cell phone, so just be careful. All right. How to pooch a potato? Talk to me.
Okay. Now we're gonna do like a 12-ounce beaker. You're to you and the boys. We're talking a 16-ounce baked potato. That's a pound instead of a 3/4 pound. And when you it comes out of the oven, it's been wiped in olive oil and rock salt, so it's got a delectable skin on it.
Oh my God!
It's crispy, and then you lay the potato down on your plate like a football. You got two pointed ends, pretty much.
Right.
And then you take your knife and you start 1 inch from one end, and you take it all the way and draw it down, not all the way through the potato, about 3/4 of the way down to about 1 inch from the end. And then, here's the art form. You take your knife and you cut across that long slit twice, about 2 inches from the end, each end, and maybe a little bit closer in. And then you take your thumb and first finger, and on each side of the pooch, the cross cuts, you press down on the potato, and it'll blossom, it'll open up, and it gives you more surface area to pile on, and you do butter first, then you do the sour cream, chives, bacon, and there you are. And that is a serious pooch baked potato.
Why? Hold on. Why butter first?
Because butter is the melts first, and it'll spread out over the whole bottom of the pooch,
right,
and create a pool for your sour cream and chives and bacon to go on top.
Okay, you're a fan of the pool, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't want to eat a baked potato without butter on every bite. Okay? As far as it's me.
And let me tell you, with the olive oil and the kosher salt on the outside of the skin is awesome.
Yeah.
Skin is straight up awesome.
Well, that, for me, I can eat a plate full of, you can scoop out the potato and just let me take the inside with about a half inch of potato in the skin. Skin done the way we've told you to do it is deluxe. And people say, man, I hate skin. Then go away from us.
Yeah, go away. You have no idea what you're doing. No idea.
Amateurs are not allowed in this discussion here.
This is for professionals. All right.
Yes.
This is for professionals. All right. I'm with you. So so that's how you pooch a potato.
Yeah, and if you do that, you'll never just slit a baked potato. You'll add those cross sections, and you'll push down, and it opens the whole surface. Instead of just the top of the slit. The sides open up. You'll see. I can only tell it to you, and once you see it and do it, you'll never eat a baked potato in that straight way again. Any potato that has more room to hold the filling is a better baked potato.
Hold on. Email question for you.
Yeah.
Does Kim recommend any certain type of potato? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I prefer Red River Reds because we live in the Red River Valley in North Dakota. But you can do russets. You can do Idaho potatoes.
That's not the question. The question is, what do you recommend?
I recommend the Red River.
Let me take Red River
Red River Reds.
Let me take Red River Reds off the table. If you because you live there, and if you get caught not saying Red River Reds, your ass is in trouble. All right, so I'll take those off the table. If you can't recommend Red River Reds, what would you recommend outside of that?
A russet potato.
A russet potato. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't have a lot of water content in it. It's more meaty, and when you bake it up, it's just a firmer potato.
Okay. All right.
And but you can do the a baked potato is the king in my book, whether it's a russet or a red or whatever you want to do. But the baked potato is the star of the show. Doesn't matter what make it is.
Make or model. You can eat anything with it. A piece of salmon tastes good. Your shoe with a little bit of garlic salt tastes good. But
Chicken. Everything.
It's all good as long as you have the pools inside the baked potato.
That's it, baby. Just put that butter up and spread it around the bottom of the spud.
All right, hold on.
Come on.
Another email. Max, so I have this straight. Some kind of either horseradish sauce, sour cream for the steak. Yes, Kim?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, All right. You can buy a horseradish sauce. I prefer to mix it myself, get separate horseradish and separate sour cream, and mix it together.
Okay. All right. You can do, so either way, whatever floats your boat. Okay.
And it's usually 1/3 horseradish. It's a strong horseradish, and 2/3 sour cream. Okay?
Okay. All right. Next, with the potato, butter.
Yes.
And then in parentheses goes in first, sour cream, chives, bacon bits.
Yes.
Baby. Yeah, baby. Now, you used to, the first time I ever had a ribeye with you, I won't say sauteed onion, but they were floured onion, or what did you used to put on top of the ribeye, and what kind of sauce was that?
You're talking about the béarnaise sauce?
Yeah, the béarnaise sauce, and what did you do with the onion?
Well, I just put them on, sauteed them and put them on the side, because there's nothing like, saute mushrooms and onions together,
right.
And you don't want to totally caramelize the onions. You still want them a little white in there. You don't want to burn them, and the mushrooms cook up real nice. And then you can put those on the side or right on top of the steak. So you get a bite of mushroom onion steak, horseradish sour cream. Oh my gosh! Hello. I think I can't. Oh my!
All right, hold on. I want to talk about the béarnaise sauce because that was delicious. You use something that people can pick up at the store, yes? For your béarnaise.
Yes. Now, what béarnaise? Excuse me. béarnaise. What béarnaise sauce is? It's hollandaise sauce with a little tarragon and tarragon vinegar added to the reduction. You cook that down, and then you take that reduction and you make your hollandaise. But if you want, you go into the grocery store and you buy Knorr béarnaise sauce, and it's K-N-O-R-R. It's a Swiss company. I learned about it when I worked in Switzerland. And all the kitchens over there use Knorr products, and it's absolutely a killer sauce. And all you do is you follow the instructions precisely. Don't put too much milk or too much anything in with the sauce, and just do what the instructions say. And believe me, that's what Mac loved the most on his ribeye, was the béarnaise sauce.
Yeah, no, it was delicious. In fact, the first time I just went down to hang out with Kim on a Wednesday night. We used to have, it was the first time. It's what made us start having dinner on Wednesday night. But I just went down and to hang out. And I walked in his office and he was having dinner. I said, "What are you eating?" He said, "I'm having a ribeye." I said, "Could I have a bite?" And it was a ribeye with onion and it had béarnaise sauce on it. And
yeah.
I had one bite. And he said, "Do you want one?" I said, "Yeah." And so he had one made for me, and we had dinner together. And then we started having dinner every Wednesday night. A little bit of a tradition down at, just he and I back in his back office down at his restaurant and just hanging out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. So that's when I first experienced Knorr béarnaise sauce. So I would recommend that, but again, that's a little bit more effort. So there's some things you can see that you can adjust here if you want to up gun your fat man dinner. Okay. Easy fat man dinner, baked potato, baked zucchini, steak. The whole thing's about 15 minutes work total, and then you eat like a champion. All right.
Yes.
And some of the extras are bacon, chives, all right, for the baked potato. That's a little bit extra work. Okay. Not much, but a little bit. Okay. And now we're talking about substituting instead of the horseradish sour cream concoction. We're talking about substituting béarnaise sauce, which is really good, on your steak. Béarnaise sauce, for those two. So some options there. Now you were going to say something.
Okay. Now, the béarnaise sauce is you put the sour cream and horseradish to the side.
Yes.
Now, if you're on a date and you really want to get lucky, and they're over to your house for dinner, the béarnaise sauce closes the deal.
Does it?
That's all I can express right now is that it is absolutely spectacular. It closed the deal with Mac and I the first time he had it, and we've been pals ever since. And
we were pals before that. Just for the record, it didn't close the deal on me. I'm telling you.
But no, well, it closed our friendship.
It's serious game.
Yeah, there's nothing more than serious game. But it's just something, if you want to kick it up a little bit, go boom, there it is.
You know, and the other thing I will tell you, if you're grilling out this weekend, it's not hard grilling to do. Honestly,
no.
I mean, think about this. You have, let's just say you have 10 baked potatoes in the oven. That's nothing, right? They're on a rack. They're sitting there. You have a whole, cookie sheet full of zucchini that you slice, and then just, again, Parmesan cheese and garlic salt before you put it in, and then they might have to be in a total of 15 minutes towards the end of the baked potatoes. So
very well, Mac.
And then, you know, then you just load up your grill with a whole bunch of steaks, and that's it. I mean, so you could do this. I mean, this is easy grilling over the course of the weekend, and you've just heard you could throw béarnaise sauce in there. You know, the baked potato, you can dress that thing up to be an absolute champion. And then you throw a little bit of red wine in there or the wine of your choice. And what a great meal. What a great holiday meal.
It really is. It's magnificent. And folks, you can do the bacon the day ahead. The chives you can chop before you, when you get out of bed in the morning, cover it and put it in the fridge. The béarnaise sauce you can make when you throw the steaks on, and it takes about 20 minutes to do the béarnaise, or you can do it just before you throw the steaks on, is what I would recommend. and then you keep it warm. You don't leave heat on it, because if you leave heat on it, it'll break it down. But it's just, and so you've got your Bernays sauce made and sitting, on the oven. And that's, we had it in a double boiler, when we made it, and it was being held at Sanders. So a double boiler is a pan with water in it on simmer, and then the Bernays sauce is in a pan that fits inside.
Right.
Inserts. And that keeps, so that can be done before you throw the steaks on. Now, the progression would be baked potatoes, and then when you, then just before you, throw your zucchini in, and the baked potatoes are almost done, you do your hollandaise, then you go out and you turn on the grill, and you have to get the grill hot to full temp, and then we've had discussions on how to do that.
Yeah.
And then you're in the front row, and you just ladle a 1 or 2 ounce scoop of the Bernays sauce on half the steak, and so you get to see the beauty of the steak, and there you go.
All right, email question for you. Mac, I have a question for Kim. I don't know if you guys have covered this ever before, but how do I keep from getting my chicken blackened? It seems like no matter what I try, my chicken gets black. Is there a cure for this disease?
Well, my guess is your chicken is black because you put whatever sauce you have on it, like a barbecue sauce, right when you throw the chicken on, which is how my father used to do it. And I ate black chicken for a few years.
We all did.
It was figured out. You only put the barbecue sauce on your chicken, right at the end where it's on the stove or on the grill, maybe, 2 minutes aside, to caramelize it, because the sugars in your barbecue sauce, if that's what turns black. Uh-huh. Now, we've taught you all how to cook chicken to get your grill marks, and then put it on the turned off part of the grill and take it off the direct heat and let it indirect cook, and then when you put your thermostat in your chicken breast and measure it, the heat temp, about 140, 130, and then you brush the sauce on, put it back on the heat, and caramelize it and put it on the plate, and then you'll eat it in its natural state, not its charged state.
No, that might be a foreign experience for many of you. But, I think the two key things are, the sugar is what gets the black color, that and burning the chicken. Okay. So if you're not burning the chicken and you apply this, you move it to indirect heat, it's not going to get black. Two, once you move it to indirect heat, you can begin to put the sauce on it and it's all good. And so, I learned that from Kim because I used to sauce it right over the fire and, you know, you're standing there with the water gun. You got this fire going and,
flame shooting up.
Hold on. Let me read you this. Mac and your guest, Kim. I don't know if you have a closed circuit camera on my balcony, but you just described to a T the fight that my husband wages on a weekly basis with our grill. This guy can burn anything. He's got the fire raging. He lifts up that lid, fire shoots out. He's got the mister trying to put out a 5-alarm fire with a mister, for God's sake.
That's national. That's not an individual problem. That's a national problem.
If I give you his cell number, could you organize an intervention? We don't intervene. It's a man's grill is like it's a last bastion. Okay, it's where he's a man. Yeah. And so no, but I Kim, you know, Kim's advice is the best. You gotta get him a book on, you know, that talks about grilling on indirect heat, and but if you do what Kim says, you don't apply the, and I'll tell you what. I'm a big fan of my green egg, and here's why. The charcoal is so far below
mm-hmm.
the grill, the surface of the grill, that even if fat drips off the meat while you're using direct heat, the meat doesn't get scorched because there's a space for the flame, right, to exist, but not scorch your meat. And I become a big,
that's right.
I become a big fan of that. And it's almost, you can't screw it up, on the green egg and or any grill that has that kind of space vertically to allow there to be some flame without burning the meat. When you only have about 2 inches between the charcoal and the meat, yeah, that ain't happening, man. You're going to get, so maybe a gift for yourself and disguise it as a gift for him, the green egg. Or a grill that has a little bit of vertical clearance. So,
vertical clearance, it has more than, I assume that she's talking about a Weber kettle where you put the charcoal in, light it, and all hells break loose. But the key is indirect heating, and we always talk about that and recommend it because if you don't want to hurt somebody and let them get caught on a piece of, charcoal that the chicken's been turned into. You use that indirect heating. But Mac's suggestion was great. Buy him a book about indirect heating and grilling and kind of wrap it up and give it to him for Father's Day or whatever. And or just sit it on his side of the bed. When he comes home at night one time, maybe a week before he grills. and then you can be subtle like a sledgehammer, but not messing with his mojo of being macho.
Because we all know that's important. And you as a spouse know the significance of that in terms of allowing him to maintain his dignity while you unscrew him. So, this is not the first time you've done that. We know that. But if you want to stop eating black chicken, black steak, black everything,
black charcoal hot dogs.
That's standard. Some people think that's just how they're supposed to be though.
Oh gosh, no. Gosh, no. You can even grill a hot dog and not ruin it.
Can we talk about some basic, let's talk about basic hot dog and hamburger grilling things, just a few reminders and pointers. First of all, talk about the Bismarck press and what not to do to a hamburger when you grill it this weekend.
Well, my brother-in-law, the first time I ever ate his food, we were out in Bismarck at their house, and my wife's brother, and he would take these hamburgers and he would put them on the grill at the same time he put the hot dogs on the grill. And then he'd start pressing the burger and flipping it and pressing it until he squeezed every bit of juice out of that burger. And then you were eating hockey pucks. And I'm telling you, I've never had a worse hamburger in my life. And I made the fatal mistake that I preached not never to do. I tried to tell him how to cook a hamburger properly. Now, I had been cooking for 30 years by this time. I knew a little bit about what how to cook a burger. And he would have nothing to do with it. And as we talked, the hot dogs kept getting blacker and blacker, and he just kept turning them until every bit of the hot dog was black.
Hold on, hold on,
and
hold on.
And then he said, okay, George, your hot dogs are ready.
So bottom line is don't do the Bismarck press on the hamburger. And the hot,
please don't.
And the hot dog doesn't need to be black.
No. And when you do a hamburger on the grill, you put the burger on the grill, and if it's, you don't want it super high. You want about medium high. And you put the burger on, depending on the thickness, no matter how thick it is or thin, when the red starts coming up to the raw part, then you flip it once. Flip it once. Hello?
Just once?
Flip it once. That's it. Now, you put your hot dogs after you flip the burger, or you can put them on when you put the right after you put the burgers on, but you have to roll them with your spatula so they cook evenly. And, you know, hot dogs are generally, unless it's a bratwurst, is generally pre-cooked. You just want to heat it up and give it a little grill mark and serve it. You do not want to blacken it. And that's essential. That's BBQ 101 with burgers and dogs. Now, a little sidebar.
Yeah.
If you are cooking bratwurst, you take your bratwurst and you fill your kettle on the stove with beer. Guinness or whatever your favorite beer is. And you bring the bratwurst to a boil. You cook them for about 8 to 10 minutes until you don't want to pop the skins on the bratwurst, the casings.
Really?
And then you pull those bratwursts off, set them on the plate, and then you take them to the grill, and then you get your grill marks. And then the bratwurst is already cooked, but you get that crispy casing that is so delicious and gives it that golden glow. But raw bratwurst is what most bratwursts are, folks. They need to be cooked first in beer. Not beer and water, beer. Okay?
Got it.
You don't want to drink that beer when the brats are done. You throw that out.
Whatever.
But sacrifice 3 or 4 cans of beer to cook the brats in, depending on how many brats you have. You want to cover the brats with the beer.
Got it. Got
okay.
it.
Okay.
But to
that's a special tip.
But to
on
the,
a very special weekend.
To the lady who continually eats black food, you don't have to do that. There's a better way.
Yes, there is. Honest to gosh, there is.
Unless you're supposed to be eating black and chicken, all right, then you, there is a better way there, sweetheart. There is a better way. That is too funny. But you know what? We all grew up. We all grew up eating like that. I thought a grilled hot dog was supposed to be black because that's how I grew up. That's how I grew up eating them.
Until I moved away from home and went off to school for 14 years, I had to eat barbecued chicken wings, and that was a huge hit. That were dipped in the barbecue sauce and then put on a Weber. And I only knew it that way. And it took me leaving home to figure it out.
How about that? But no, it is. But you know, I think the indirect heat and understanding that it's the sugar, if you're cooking over direct heat, it's
mm-hmm.
the sugar in the sauces that creates a lot of the blackness, and so put it on towards the end, and you'll have very, very pretty chicken.
Yes, you will.
All right.
You know, I have that high pearl glow, that golden caramelized, delicious-looking chicky.
All right. Is any other before I let you go? Any other pointers for a long weekend of a lot of people go to the lake? This really Memorial Day for a lot of people marks the beginning of summer.
Yeah.
Beginning of summer. Any other summer things that you would tell them that they could include? Give me one.
You know, like we just talked about chicken, but you can do pork, you can do anything on the grill. But for me, I think your big special meal for your family will be the steak and the meal we described earlier today. For a group of people coming over, hanging out with you, then I recommend the burgers and dogs and brats. Now, the brats is a boom, shall you and I say. You know, bring on the boom. And that's the bratwurst, because you boil them in beer and throw them on the grill and finish them, get your grill marks on there without blackening the skin, because that, then they'll be cooked. Then you're going to be a superstar. And for condiments, you must have diced onions, sweet pickle relish. If you want to heat up sauerkraut, you can do that. If you're from the East Coast, they like kraut on dogs. I like it all, but that's me. And Chicago style, they throw a pickle on there and a hot pepper. But, you know, and never, the rule is only mustard on dogs.
No,
some people
no,
like
yeah, whose rule is that? That's a stupid rule. I don't like that rule.
Oh, no. Anyway, that would be have nice condiments. That's all.
All right. Is that it? Is that all? Is that all you got?
All you got.
Okay, don't go
away.
My
wife says. Did you hear that?
No. What'd she say?
She said she's trying to cut me off.
Okay.
She knows better. I'm on the phone with you, baby.
I know you got to go, so we'll let you go. But I like spicy mustard, and I like ketchup on my hot dog. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it.
So does Beth. She just screamed. But for me, the spicier, hotter the mustard, the more I like it. But I have to have onions on my hot dog.
No, you know what?
I have to have onions.
I'm with you. I don't normally do that myself, but I would, when they're available, always. All right, sir.
And, folks, you dice the onions. You don't have big chunks. It's just like putting thick slices of onion on a cooked hamburger. It ruins it. All you taste is raw onion. You slice everything thin when you're going on hamburgers with the onions, thin to win, and then you dice to make nice for dogs.
Slice to make nice. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to read. Here's one more email from this woman, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just so you know, I told him that he should listen to All Marine Radio a few minutes ago. So please be nice to him. He's trying. I think he wants to learn. She's fighting for her weekend food. Anyway, but no. So if you paid attention over the course of the last hour, you learned one of the great fat man meals of all time. Baked potato, baked zucchini, and steak. It takes no work at all, and you eat like a king. You learned how to dress that up with Noir Bernays sauce. Somebody just sent an email. Hey, Mac, what is the brand name of the Bernays sauce? Kim, how do you spell that again?
K-N-O-R-R.
Write it down.
It's a Swiss product, pronounced Noir. The K is silent.
Right.
But it's K-N-O-R-R.
Now,
every grocery store has it.
That's what I was going to ask. Most grocery stores have it.
They're un-American if they don't.
All right. There you have it on a Friday. Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you later.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Yeah, you don't say that to people. It's not good. All right.
Okay.
All right. See ya. The the All Marine Radio head chef, Pete Kimball Holmes. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global Soft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSource. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global Soft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian career. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Big question among political analysts today. Is punching a reporter now a legitimate way to get elected? Sure as hell is in Montana. Sure as hell is in Montana. Come on, you knew that was going to happen. He body slams that reporter. The rest of the country goes, finally. Finally. Thank God. Look, I don't care what the guy said. They as a group deserve that. They so deserve to get body slammed. Yeah. Now he wins an election. Congratulations. So now, if you're struggling in the polls, if you're even, do you slam a reporter? Wait till the smallest reporter shows up and then body slam. You know, he rolls in and yells, right, Ziplane, Ziplane. And, yeah. What happens? So it's a legitimate political consultant question. Montana, they're not like the rest of the country, okay? They're not like the rest of the kids. So, yeah, pretty funny. You knew it was going to happen, too. When that happened, I said, that guy's so going to win. It's not even funny. So, yeah, it helps to be a Republican in Montana, too. I guess. But, yeah, but, you know, should we add that tool to our quiver? My thanks to Kim Holmes for coming on. But, yeah, I've been dining, like, once a week on the baked potato, ribeye, grilled, or baked zucchini. It's an awesome. And Kim has taught me, honestly, he's taught me a lot about just how to jazz stuff up. Over the course of the years. And, for instance, the, oil and kosher salt on baked potato. Yeah, the skin is good anyway, right? And then if you have butter and sour cream on one side, then you got a little bit of oil and you got a little bit of salt on the other. It's to die for. Come on. And the Bernays sauce. He and I have been good friends for a long time, going on, it'll be 20 years here in about 3 years, but I met him when I moved to North Dakota and started doing radio, and he used to do, every once in a while he'd come on and talk a little bit about food, with the guy that I replaced, who was a big time guy. And, moved on to bigger things. So I met him, and he and I hit it off right away, and I said, well, why don't you come on every Friday? And so we started doing, the Mike and Kim show every Friday. And he's funny, talk about current events or whatever. And he's a liberal, so it was always kind of fun to poke the bear with him. And so I used to do that on a regular basis. But when my oldest was 15 and a half, Kim asked me if he wanted to, if he wanted a job washing dishes. And he said, look, it's not like putting dishes in a dishwashing machine. He'll be this is like a real kitchen because Kim had a real restaurant. And John went down there and worked at 15 and a half and was a machine washing dishes. Patrick did not dig it so much, but John did. And John stayed there probably till he had a couple breaks in service as he went away to college and things like that. But I think he stopped working there when he went off to officer candidate school and got commissioned and headed to the basic school. So yeah, I think John was 25. He washed dishes, bused tables, and waited and did all kinds of stuff. So and I'll tell you what, that's hard work. That is working in the back end of a kitchen. That is not for the faint of heart. So but anyway, but he and I were good buddies, and so I was on the city council, and I was, what else? I was doing my radio show. I would coach high school baseball when I could, and I was the operations manager of the place where I worked. So I was working hard. And so I used to carve a little bit of time out, and I don't play golf, I don't go out drinking. You know, I mean, I hang out with my family. So, one night a week, I'd go have dinner with Kim. And the first night I walked into his office and he was eating a ribeye steak with béarnaise sauce on it. And I took a bite of it and I said, wow. And so that used to be that would be my go-to meal. And I would occasionally jazz it up with either scampi or crab cakes were also my favorite as well. My friends have been chiming in, and I haven't read them. Straight horseradish, don't be a pussy. I can't do that. It's too powerful. It's just like blue cheese. You know that really dense blue cheese? I don't like that. And then Montana man, who's a tough guy, he says, he chimes in later. I'm with Mac, cut with a little sour cream. Montana man's not big on wedge salads. Oh my god. Yeah, Montana man predicted it would be a landslide last night in Montana. That, body slam man would get elected, whoever the hell he is. So, let's see, what else? There's a couple emails here. Hey Mac. Let's see. Mac, Kim is a pretty funny dude, man. You can tell how much he loves to eat by the way his voice changes when he's talking. I laugh listening to him because when he gets excited, especially when he was talking about pools of butter in a baked potato, you could tell he was fired up for that. I'm going to go have a baked potato for lunch. I think it sounded so good I was drooling. Awesome on a Friday, especially this Friday. Have a great weekend. Your buddy is a pretty funny dude. He is a pretty funny dude, but I'll tell you what, he loves to eat. He got in the right business because he does. He levitates when he talks about food, and he loves it. And he absolutely positively loves to talk food and do new things with food and things like that. He's the first guy that says experiment with it too. But he's deaf on a few things. The Bismarck Press. The Bismarck Press is one. And, don't squeeze the juice out of the burgers. Don't flip them more than once. Okay. Hot dogs you can put on the rack above if you have one of those in your propane grill. If you're a charcoal griller, put the marks on them, right? Over direct heat, leave them there for maybe 60 seconds, flip it, right? And then indirect heat, it's already cooked. Remember, just heat it up and boom. It doesn't have to be black. But yeah, he's the one that taught me how to, he taught me about the ribeye, right? So I said, why ribeye? He said, it's got the best fat, man. That's what makes a steak. Come on, Mac. It's not the beef. It's the marbling. Come to it. The ribeye is where it's at. I'm like, all right. And I will tell you what.
He's right. The ribeye. If you're not down with the ribeye, then you got to take a second look at whatever kind of steak that you're participating in, because you've got to maybe reevaluate that. I'm just telling you, be open to it. Be open to it, because ribeye, great, great marbling. Great marbling in it. The, also elsewhere, other news. There was a story. It says Marines expansion, Marines have hit the pause button on, the plan to expand numbers. The first order of business is fixing readiness shortfalls. So, General Neller testified earlier this week. Let's see. Who'd he testify in front of? Hold on, I'll find it here in a second. We've been resetting for a while, by the way. But the whole sequestration thing. I don't know where he testified this week. He quoted General Secretary Mattis. Secretary Mattis's guidance to the Marine Corps, make what you've got well, Neller told the publication. So that's what he's quoted as saying. And so instead of getting bigger, the Marine Corps will use additional funding to get well in terms of readiness. So that in the news, and then a couple of Paris Island stories are in the news. And then the, honestly, the Wounded Warrior report, and again, I'll just give you my experience with them. They've been invited on the program. But what I told them to do, I said, hey, look, man, we don't underestimate the great work that you've done. And we'd love to, you know, we'd love to help you. We'd love to be a part of it. You got to, you know, you got to come on and talk about it. Take your face shot. And it's not taking your face shot. It's just you're going to get asked blunt questions. Because this is our tribe, man. We're interested. So let's come on and talk about it. And I'm sure you guys have answers for it. You know. So you know, come on and answer hard questions. And, but, you know, for whatever reason, they decided that they didn't want to do that. What you've seen from, Wounded Warrior, is a campaign that, talks about the good stuff that they've done. And they have done good stuff. Okay. But again, this story, what it documents is, according to Senator Chuck Grassley's report, and, we'll see if there's any other footnotes to go along with it. And we're happy to, report, whatever footnotes go along with it as well. But, it says that, unlike the claim that Wounded Warrior makes, which is 80% of each donor dollar goes to programs, Chuck Grassley said it's more like 68%. So that's a lot of overhead. That's a lot of overhead. And so I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll play, it's about 2 minutes, but I'll play the report that, from, CBS News. I think. Or maybe I won't. Oh, maybe I will. It's just coming from a different channel. Hold on. And then I think Mike's gonna join us today, although I haven't heard from him.
Tonight, the U.S. Senate has completed its investigation of the Wounded Warrior Project. The Senate probe began after a series of reports on the CBS Evening News questioned how much of the donations were actually going to wounded vets. Chip Reed has this.
Last year, we met Eric Millett, one of dozens of former employees who shared with CBS News concerns about the charity's spending and programs for veterans.
We're using our injuries, our darkest days, our hardships, to make money so you can have these big parties.
Senator Chuck Grassley led an inquiry into the allegations.
You want to make sure that people that contribute money, that it's used for what it was meant to be used for.
The charity had said it spent 80 cents of each donor dollar on programs for veterans, but Grassley says that included donated media, advertisements, and educational fundraising solicitations to reach that number. And Grassley's nearly 500-page report to the Senate Judiciary and Finance Committees found Wounded Warrior Project was spending only about 68% of donor dollars on programs for veterans. It also found the charity lacked sufficient policies and procedures to manage the organization, misled donors about more than $65 million placed in a long-term trust that had not yet been spent on veterans, and spent excessive amounts of money on travel, as well as on fundraising and staff events. CEO Stephen Nardizzi was fired last year, along with nearly the entire executive suite of the charity.
I think it's going to help in the long run to deliver exactly what the program ought to do for veterans.
In a statement, Wounded Warrior Project said it follows accounting rules and IRS requirements and has, quote, made significant changes to ensure that we are focused on running the most efficient, effective organization possible. Scott, it also says it updated its travel and expense policies and adjusted its programs and services to focus on mental health and long-term support. Chip Reed, thanks.
Notice that they didn't comment about the percentage or challenge that number. So, again, we'll pay attention to see if Wounded Warrior has anything to say, and then we'll put that out as well. I'll go ahead and on our Facebook page, on our website, I will go ahead and put the study that the Senate released, if you care to take a look at it. So, but again, I think it's important, because there is this presumption of this really sacred trust, with our wounded warriors that the money that is raised goes to them. And again, I think we've all seen, you know, administrative cost in the combined federal campaign. And we're pretty used to seeing, you know, if something's above 5%, I think that catches your attention pretty quick. And that's why, again, I don't know, and they've never even been on the program, the Semper Fi Fund. But, Semper Fi Fund, does awesome stuff. And so again, Wounded Warrior, I think, has more questions to answer. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Gunner is going to join us here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So sit back, relax.
Here.
Mike Musselman, the one and only, will join us next here as, he in Texas getting ready for a long weekend. So more about All Marine Radio coming up next. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Rolosoft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the GlobalSoft website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue. Bruce Springsteen, not in studio, because the gunner hates him. He's not even a singer, right?
Who?
Springsteen, not a singer, yes?
I hate him.
Yeah, he hates him. Yeah. He's not a singer.
He's a no-talent hack, yeah.
No, he's a no-talent hack rapper.
Yeah.
From New Jersey and masquerading as some kind of musician. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his voice is like, and he's singing like this, and he's really popular. Yeah.
He's parlayed smoker's hack into millions and millions of dollars. So,
yeah.
Congratulations to he and his family, most of all his kids. His son's a firefighter in New Jersey. And
that's good. You know, he's a great person. He's probably done some great things, but as far as his songs go, yeah. Give me a break.
Not even a singer.
John Mellencamp and Bruce Springsteen. Both of them. Just, what the heck?
I told Mike off the air, but I'll share it with everybody. I was getting phone calls last night, friends of ours laughing because they had never heard the C-130 story from yesterday. So So, a popular story, Mike. It's a bit entertaining, yes?
Yeah. Well, Rudy and Metro were there. They were actually on the ground when we were doing the verification of the missiles. They were doing all the insulated grid stuff and making sure that we were hitting the targets. And so, yeah, Rudy was, but they were on the ground. And we, of course, were in there. And that's when it all started.
He said, Montana Man said he had to shut down operations and so he could listen. That's how entertaining the story was.
Yeah, well, Buck had said that him and his daughter, Megan, were listening, and she, I guess, was saying that, man, Mick's crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. I just get put in crazy positions, and I just kind of actually perform. Doesn't make me crazy.
No. Well, I would add this comment, okay, as somebody who's seen Mike in action, or not seen him so much in action, but I'm always around when he comes back and then he sits down and he kind of plops down and you look at him and he just shakes his head and goes, oh boy. You say, what happened? Were you with Jerry Durant?
Yeah. Was it the bullet magnet?
Yeah. Mac, let me tell you. What happened? What happened out there? And then he tells you this tale. And so, You would think though that Mike over time gets smarter, right?
No.
Not always.
Or dumb. It's like I said, I get put in bad situations. It just happens.
And then makes bad decisions.
No, I make great decisions. That's why I'm here talking to you today.
No, we both know that's a fair amount of luck, yes?
Yeah, that's skill and luck. I'd probably 51 skill, 49 luck.
Okay, 81 luck, 19 skill. And that's probably erring on the side of skill too much, okay? Because,
I was lucky. I was probably lucky more times than I should have been.
But the trip up the Euphrates is like the mother of all stupid things. Is that the dumbest thing you think? The dumbest choice you've ever made was to... is that the dumbest one, or did you make dumber choices than that?
I'm trying to think. Did I make a... Ramadi, I made a pretty dumb choice, but that was kind of... That was fun. Well, I wouldn't say fun. They used to do those, remember those thunder runs?
Explain.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, explain to everybody what a thunder run is.
So I heard about it, so I was like, yeah, you don't have to go on it. Stupid mistake. That was probably pretty stupid.
But let me just say this in Mike's defense. Mike is a gunner, right? So his specialty.
So I had to experience that stuff.
Yeah, his specialty is techniques and weapons, and if we're doing something new, you know, Mike's an expert, right? So, you know, so he can, if he chooses to be there, all those doors open up where they don't open up to everybody. Mike's got kind of a visa card to get involved in whatever stupid, ridiculous thing is going on. All he does is pull out his visa card, say, I'm a gunner. Okay, go ahead. So now.
Sign me up for stupid.
Explain to everybody what a thunder run is.
Okay, a thunder run was, on one end, on the western end of Ramadi, you had Hurricane Point and Blue Diamond. And Hurricane Point being the home of, the Army Brigade, which was 2nd DCT when we were there, Brigade Combat Team. And they were really mech heavy, so they had Bradleys, M113s, and M1 tanks. And then on the other end, all the way down towards Habania, which like bursted a 506 Terrifoys, you know. The
okay, hold on. When I was there, 2-4 was at Hurricane Point, and the BCT was at Camp Ramadi across the river.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. So there's Camp Ramadi, and Hurricane Point was the Marine.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, Camp Ramadi, which is on the other side of the river. But they're connected. When you look at them, they're actually just, there's a feature, a river that separates them, but you can, they're like one entity. Because Blue Diamond was right above Hurricane Point.
Yeah, and here, what they would do is they would shoot at the center point of the river. There was a river and a canal there.
and they would shoot right in any direction that you missed.
Okay. You hit Hurricane Point, Blue Diamond, or Camp Ramadi.
You hit somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. On the eastern edge of town, up by the cops, way on the other end was the Cherokee Boys, first of the 506, and the Brother Boys. They were those guys. They were light infantry. And so every once in a while, what they would do, the Army, was like a show of force. They'd line up all these armored vehicles, Bradleys, tanks, M113s, this huge mechanized arsenal, and then just go steamrolling down Michigan, which was the main thoroughfare, shooting, like guns up, Blazing Saddles. We're going to do a number six. We're going to come in a whooping and a hollering, a shooting and a shooting, you know. And the holy smokes, man. So they'd go flying down there, and pointing out, burning anything that looked like it was going to shoot, they'd shoot at it. It was just, and they call it Thunder Dome because all that mechanized, vehicles going down, the whole, it felt like you could hear it forever. It was thunder. And they thought that was a big psychological thing. And then they go down to the top, where the light infantry guys, and they say, oh, come back. Oh, shooting and hooping and hollering, shooting and whatever, you know. And, that was the Thunder Run.
Okay, so.
And those were crazy.
Explain your involvement in it then.
So, I wanted to see what one was. Like, why were we doing this? So I went out, and I did it, and then I came back, and I was like, okay, that had to been the stupidest thing I've ever seen employed ever. It had no psychological value whatsoever. The bozos that we were out with, you know, everybody went on it. We had four different groups. No one knew who was in charge. People shooting at things that they thought they were a threat. I mean, it was a nightmare. It looked like, it reminded me of the bridge in Apocalypse Now, when they get there and they have to, both sides are shooting at each other and no one knows where the enemy is, and they have to call Roach out with the M79. Roach. I said, yeah, they're in the water. Here.
Roach knew where they were.
Yeah. Roach, you can hear? Yeah, you mean through aluminum? No. I got him. I got him, man. And then that's where, who's in charge here? I thought you were. That was the bridge scene from Apocalypse Now. What the hell are we doing? I don't know. Just keep shooting.
Mike, he can recite. All right, hold on. You ready? Wait. Hold on. I got to kill Kali, even though she's in the background. But this is the scene from Apocalypse Now. As they go up the river, right? They're still going up the river. And they tie into this little craziness.
God, I told you to stop fucking with me just now. You think you're so bad, huh, nigga? What are you shooting at, soldier? What the fuck do you think I'm shooting at?
That would be Mike asking that question right there. A little bit different response to Vietnam, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I did. Out there by the wire. But I think I killed them all. Oh, you ain't shot shit, man. Listen. He's trying to call his friends, man. Send him a friend. So bad, I'm the guy. You think you bad, huh?
No, kid, stupid. There's one still alive underneath their body.
Who's the commanding officer here?
Ain't you?
Hit the rope.
You think so bad, huh? I'm sucking for your ass down, nigga. I'm sucking for you now.
This is, where, before this part of the movie, it's kind of a war movie. And then they take you into the twilight zone of Vietnam. So, hold on, the Roach comes out in a second.
Got slopes on the wild, man. You hear him? Rick! Did you hear him? Well, bless him.
Hey, see him out there on the wire, man?
Yeah.
You need a flare?
No, man. He's close, man. He's real close.
His M79's got tiger stripes on it, too.
Yeah. And he's just wearing a flat.
Yeah, he is. He's got some puka shell looking things or something hanging around his neck.
Yeah. There's the explosion. All quiet. Motherfucker. Hey, soldier. Yeah, here we go. Do you know who's in command here? Yeah.
He walks away. Hey, you ask stupid questions, you're going to get stupid answers.
The, yeah, that's Apocalypse Now. The roach scene.
You know the character? Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, that's that movie gets disturbing at, like, you know. Do you remember when you first saw that?
Oh, no, but that's still one of my favorites, man. I don't care if people think that it's far-fetched. I'm not saying that we experienced everything in that, you know, to that degree, but, you know, it's funny because there are certain personalities in that movie that come out in real life. Like, you know, like I said, the Colonel Kilgore scene. He didn't serve in Iraq, but you had these guys, larger-than-life personalities. And I remember running into a cab soldier with the Stetson hat, and he had the boots on, and, you know, he's got his camouflage uniform, and he's got his body armor, and he's got his step behind him. You know, he's, they're like, oh, for crying out loud, man. This guy's been waiting for this moment his entire life. He gets to wear his blue Stetson hat with his cavalry swords on his cowboy hat out in somewhere in Iran.
Exactly. But it is a great, that scene is, it's a smell of napalm in the morning. But the best part is when he lands, right? He's trying to get Lance to surf, man.
Hold on. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay, fellas,
so no.
He's yelling.
Way too long.
He's yelling at Lance about the break in the surf. It's just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the part of the movie that I found that I've never forgotten. I don't think there were too many scenes in movies prior to Apocalypse Now that approximated real life. The sounds aren't similar until you get to Saving Private Ryan and the whole Band of Brothers series. I don't think you hear and really truly see what goes on a battlefield. But there's a scene in this where a helicopter's landing to medevac somebody, and
yeah, and throws a booby trap or a bomb inside and it blows up.
Right. The guy who's being medevaced, he's a black soldier, and he's been shot in the thigh, and he is screaming. He's not, and I never had seen that in a war movie. Where, you know, guys get shot and they're like, you know, in combat.
Yeah, they just fall.
Right. Yeah, they fall. They're like, oh, it's just shrapnel. Right. Then you go to 29 Palms and you see a piece of shrapnel that's about, you know, a foot long and about 4 inches wide. You're like, oh, what's that? Is that shrapnel? Like, that's not how it looked in combat, the TV series. And so I remember being very disturbed by that scene. Because it was the first time I'd seen the emotion that goes along with when somebody gets wounded on either TV or in a movie. And it made me very uncomfortable. Like, whoa, what's that? And of the whole movie, that's what I most remember is that scene and when he's wounded, him screaming in agony. And I was most disturbed by that. And I'll never forget it because I'd seen a lot of war movie stuff. Apocalypse now comes out, what, 79 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, that's about it. That's probably right, 79, 80.
Yeah. Because I was going to college. I was at the University of San Diego. And I went.
DeVault was pretty young.
Yeah, I went with a friend of, I went with one of my roommates. And so. Do you have a favorite? You have a favorite war movie?
That one.
Apocalypse Now is?
Yeah, it is my favorite without a doubt.
I don't know that I have a favorite. I actually, coincidentally, I started watching the Pacific, a couple days ago. And I'm getting towards the end of it, but, it's kind of a different experience sitting there watching it by yourself and going back and listening to things and stuff like that. But, you know, the guys who made those series, wow, what they pack into them, and.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty different. And the Pacific's so different from, Band of Brothers.
Still equally good. Right. I mean, they're both equals. Not one's any better than the other. It's just
different.
You know? Closer, yeah, you get closer ties to the Pacific ones because they're wins.
Right, and you know what? I think one of the things that you see more in the...
Well, I think that was mine. Someone called me on that. So.
Exactly. But
identity. What's that called?
Stolen Valor. That's awesome.
And never served in the Marine Corps.
That's awesome. Hey, do you have a? We were talking food a little bit earlier. I don't know if you guys will go to any events or do any grilling over the weekend. Do you have a go to meal that you love to grill?
Yeah, chili dogs.
Tell me about them.
No, chili dogs like the Nathan, the one that snaps. You know, like a good. Good fashion hot dogs that when you bite it, it snaps like a Nathan, like a good one. And it's got the little twist tie at the end, you know? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, so.
Nice, soft, warm bun, and then a mound of chili. The chili with no beans, some onions, and some cheese. Oh, little tears right there. That's a happy meal, boy.
So, but do you grill the chili dog or do you steam it?
You grill the dog, yeah. You get that grill marks on there. It adds a little flavor too.
And what kind of chili? Chili no beans, you said? Not homemade?
Chili no beans. Huh? Yeah. Like a Texas chili with no beans. Yeah. And then like white onions and then some cheddar cheese on there.
That sounds...
Man. And it's in like a line of mustard before you get the chili dog. Just one line, right down the side. Left or right, doesn't matter. Yellow mustard. Farmers.
No spicy mustard?
No.
Hey, are you surprised that the guy who body slammed the reporter got elected?
No, I think that's great. We need to body slam more reporters.
Do you think now political consultants are that has to go in the playbook? How many points are we down? Where's that little?
Yeah, go body slam somebody.
Where's that little?
Go body slam a reporter. That did you see the whiny reporter too? His interview.
No, I did not. Yeah. I saw the interview with the Fox reporter that was standing there, and she said she was stunned by the whole thing.
Yeah, my best line ever was when I confronted someone and said, "I'm going to call the police." Wrong service, buddy. Call EMS.
What, do you know why did he body slam the reporter? What was the disagreement over?
I think, well, it could be anything, but I think they got an audio that the reporter's being, he's a classic jackass, man. I mean, look at this guy. You know, he's got jackass written all over him. He's looking for that story. He wants to be the guy, you know, look at me. Pushing this guy into a corner, and then I don't think there's video, I think there's audio, right? So, I don't know how close he was. I mean, someone gets in your face, you know? doing gestures or something.
Okay, hold on. So the
answer, the problem is that they don't do enough ass whooping on these people, and so then they get to this position, and then when it happens to them, they're in shock. And back in the day when we were growing up, everybody's getting their ass whooped.
Well,
you need more ass whoopings going out there.
If you were acting an ass, you know, you learned the law of the neighborhood, right?
You know, again, 20, 30 years ago, you got in someone's personal, you got it within someone's arm's distance, you puffed up to somebody, you got your ass kicked.
We don't do that.
Now, people all, you know, getting up in your space, and when you push it, it's like, you put your hands on me. No, you act like an ass. I didn't give you the right to beat you, for you to beat me up. That young kid does. They just haven't invoked that rule in a long time. They're going to pull it out of the closet, blow some dust out there. We're going to stand there and skip it. And you're first. That's why they call it. We don't really kick your ass. It's not when we kick. When we say ass kicking, it's not a little kind of real kick your butt behind. It's kicking ass because you're the ass and I'm going to do the kicking.
Whoa.
And that's where we get ass kicking.
Well, you know what? It is.
Let's start a new campaign. We'll call it This Summer. The Summer of Ass Kicking.
Get your ass.
All the hipsters. Get hipsters on the spot. If you're a hipster, ass kick. Just start doing it. No one likes a guy with beard soap or beard cream with the ponytail.
Nobody likes it. Nobody does it anymore. I mean, as a kid, if you get involved in any of that in school, oh my God! I mean, it's like the world's coming to an end.
Mac, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Right? I was told that a long time ago. When you run your mouth, and you get a fistful of teeth. You know, you get a mouthful of teeth, loose teeth in your mouth. Congratulations! You just won a prize. We'd have a whole lot less problems right now in the United States. All this political correctness shit would go away.
Yeah, you know, the, I don't know.
Personal space, man. Arms distance. If you get within there and you puff up, if you want to play puff up, what are you doing? Are you sucking up atmosphere? You want to, what are you doing here? What's this? Puffing up. Yeah, I see what you're doing. You're acting like a rooster trying to get. Oh, okay, got it.
All right, Montana Man. Montana Man says he's making chili dogs today.
Oh yeah, don't they sound good?
Yeah. No, we were talking a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, the long ones with the little twist tie ends. The ones that when you steam them, and after you steam, don't boil them. Steamed.
Well, wait a minute. You just said you grew them.
Well, if you're doing it the way he is, he's not going to grill them. So you steam them, and then the bun, so the bun's going to have that little soft warmness to it. Then you pour that chili in with the mustard. So good. That's the go-to.
All right. I'm with you. We were talking a little bit earlier about, I was given like Fat Man recipes, easy food to make, mm-hmm. baked potato, baked zucchini, and steak. No effort to make. And then my chef buddy said, okay, baked potato, do yourself a favor, microwave a little bit of bacon, chop it up, sour cream, chives.
Microwave bacon?
Well, he said, look, if you, because this was designed to be like easy, quick meal, but tastes great. Okay. So you could cook the bacon if you want to. But,
am I the only guy that cooks every Monday, cooks about 5 pounds of bacon and chops it up, put it in the refrigerator for the rest of the week?
Yes. I don't know anybody else that does that. You do that every Monday?
Okay. No, I'm not going to say I do now.
Whoa. I thought this
so
was
you
all...
You have bacon on hand.
Whoa, that's a serious bacon fetish right there. I don't know anybody that does that. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
You got to wash it. Wash it and then rub it, give it a nice bath in oil, and then I put that seasoning around it, around the skin, and then I wrap it up, and I cook it, and then just before it's done, I put a couple pats of butter in there on it, and then cook it again for like the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then now you got a seasoned, easy eating peel, so you can eat the whole potato. if it wasn't so damn hot, just pick it up and eat it like an apple.
There is nothing like, that tastes like bacon. I mean, it is one of the wonder foods on the planet. Seriously, right? It goes
yeah.
with, you know, you could
put bacon on our chili dog, too.
What? I guess
I've had bacon on donuts. That's so good.
You have not.
Oh, my God.
You're
yeah,
lying.
That is good.
You're lying.
You've
Hold
never
on.
Had bacon on donuts?
Nobody had puts bacon on donuts. Email.
Dude, we're,
hey,
we
Mac.
Need to get outside the house.
Could the gunner give a quick version of his trip down the river? I've yet to hear that. You know, I'm surprised, Montana Man had not heard the C-130 story. I was kind of surprised by that.
Montana Man was already left Iraq when that went down, or Afghanistan. So like I said, Donnie was the XO at the time.
I forgot about that. But yeah, he said he had to stop what he was doing yesterday and listen to it. It was such a quality story.
Yeah.
Can you give like a 2-minute version of the trip down the Euphrates with your SEAL friend?
Well, they weren't my friends. I just met them. Friends, I would say that, you know, wouldn't do that to other friends. No.
Friends don't, you
know, but
friends don't take
to,
friends on stupid trips down the river.
Yeah. Friends would say, hey, you know what? This is a stupid trip. You probably don't want to be a part of this.
But, oh no.
And, like I said, you just, you know, so this is, whoever the boat unit guys, DMU or whatever,
yeah.
boat, there's like a boat group that supports SEALs. So, and they have boats that, like our old boats that we had, riverine boats, they had these two big, huge jet engines, you know, or water jet engines, bristling with guns from 50 cals, Mark 19s, double, duals, 240s, you know, I mean, it looked like it would put that PT boat or that marine boat in Apocalypse Now to shame. This thing had so many guns on it. Minigun. This thing was a tank on water. Problem is, it wasn't a tank on water because tanks don't float. So it had no armor, you know, other than what you're wearing. But I didn't think about that. So we were going to do a raid and one night. And so I went long as it should. And to make a long story short, we got about halfway down, and shit hit the fan. Everybody started shooting at us, and we started shooting at everybody. I mean, it was a madhouse. Boats flying, water splashing everywhere, didn't know where it's going, can't see anything, you know. And it's kind of crazy, because like I said, I don't know how you can even see, other than tracers, you know, going back and forth, but you can't see anything, especially in a fast-moving boat zigzagging down the river. And that's when you come to realize, real quick, there's nowhere to hide when you're in the middle of the water. And the boat's not offering you cover either, because that's the target. So
good.
Stay out of the boat.
So I'm running the 5th Marine Regiment Combat Operations Center.
Oh.
And so
yeah, I was just 3-5.
Yeah, Mike's the gunner for 3-5. And so
yeah.
So, like,
and we're operating on hopping here, right there.
So the SEALs come and they do the coordination to do this thing, and they're going to go up the river.
There's this raid, and they want to do it out the river. Yeah,
right. They're going to go up
There's
the river.
There's a compound up by the 611 bridge. Yeah, right.
And then, but instead of finding a place that they could come, pull the boats
a
out
shore.
Up the river, right?
Yeah,
they turn around and
right.
come back. Well, even the dumbest
right.
among us, right, knows that. Oh, they just went up. They're probably coming back
they
down.
They got to come back.
And they went yep. down, and they sat by the river, and they waited. And so Mike's in the middle of the river getting shot at. Now, the SEALs are notorious for not communicating with you if they're fighting inside your battle space. They don't say anything, and you find out about it about other ways. So all of a sudden, 3-5 starts screaming, like, what is going on the river?
Yeah, there's shooting taking place in the river.
Right. And Mike and 3-5 has these small firm bases that are not on
all
top of
the river.
But they're up and down the river. And there's like tracers going everywhere. And they're like, wow.
Yeah.
And then the SEALs, with no coordination at all, I dropped 2,000-pound bombs. And that's when 3-5 goes.
On the banks of the river.
Yeah. They go hysterical.
Like, what in God, you know, and then it was like, yeah, the SEALs, you guys can't come down here and play anymore. You guys are stupid. You can't do that, man. You can't drop bombs. Like, what happens if we had
no, it's called coordination.
Yeah. And so then I see Mike, and we're talking, and you know, it's just like, hey, what have you been doing? And he's like, oh, man, I went with the SEALs, and I was like, you were in that thing? He's like, yeah, why? I'm like, come on. What in God's name was going on? And he tells me, I was like, how did you get roped into that? And he's like, I kind of wanted to go. I went as an observer. I'm like, oh, you're dumb, man. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. So anyway, but yeah. And you know, it's interesting because Mike says, look, you know, getting shot at, you know, when you're on the ground and you know, you in your element, you know, it's not bothersome. You know, you feel like you know what you're doing. But when you're on the water or in a plane where you have no control, not so much. Not so much. Hold on, I think we lost him. Are you still there? We lost the gunner. Hold on, we'll get him back.
You've reached Mike.
Oh, Johnson, my
817.
God.
7-5-0-0-4, please.
Here he comes. What happened?
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay. All right. We're back. So,
we're at the hospital still with Ralph, so I got to punch out here in a second. Go check on.
All right. You got anything going on for the weekend or are you just going to hang out?
This weekend should be pretty normal. Trying to think. No, nothing really going on.
All right.
Hopefully not.
Right, well,
I might make some chili dogs now. Take talking about it.
Now that you're hungry.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like a good idea. We appreciate the input for the recipe file. All right. Go take care of Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph said hello to him and dude. Ralph said say hi to Mac. So we'll talk to you later.
All right, bud. Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
All right. Yep. You too. Bye.
You bet. That is the one and only Michael Musselman. We're gonna take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday. And there's a couple pieces of news. I want to get you a piece of audio that Secretary Kelly, formerly known as John Kelly, is in the news today. So you're gonna hear from him. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next from your home for All Marine Radio, and that is the All Warrior Radio Network. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian career. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation. How to basically, again,
we have this plan to go to the hottest place on Earth.
We are
harness the energy from the sun to develop popcorn. The Chase Mobile app will allow us to pay our vendors, receive payments. We never have to stop doing business.
Chase Mobile app, available with business checking.
That somebody can see that.
If you're staying in the capital.
And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSource. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Dozen times ago, 9:46 on a Friday before Memorial Weekend gets going. John Kelly was interviewed by Fox News yesterday. He, a personal friend, and he talked about his son. His son Robert was killed in Afghanistan when we were there in 2010. And I first met Robert when I was working for General Kelly in 1993. And he has an older brother by the name of John, who's also a Marine officer. He's an intel officer now. And they're good kids. And, they were, you know, I met them. I want to say they were probably 12 and 14 or something like that. But, I want to play a little bit of,
talk about somebody. I know you think about those who lost their lives in the line of battle.
This is General Kelly on Fox News. I believe it was yesterday.
But for you, the highest ranking officer to lose his son in this generation in the line of battle, what are you thinking about and your family thinking about this Memorial Day?
Well, the first thing I'd say is we don't need Memorial Day. If you're a Gold Star family member, you think about him or her every single day. In fact, hundreds of times a day. But what Memorial Day in my mind is good for is to remember, for America to remember the million men and women over our history, the million men and women who have given their life for this country in combat. So on Memorial Day, even if you're at the beach or taking advantage of some mattress sale somewhere, think about that.
Can you tell me about that? Can you tell me about the man who's splitting the screen with you?
Second Lieutenant Robert Kelly.
He's the finest man I ever knew.
Why?
Just is. Yeah, finest guy. Wonderful guy. Wonderful husband, wonderful son, wonderful brother. Brave beyond all get out. His men still correspond with us. They still mourn him as we do.
Great comments about a great son from a great patriot. General, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Yep.
God bless you.
Sepan Fideos.
Yeah. All right.
If you watch that audio, if you watch that video clip, you don't see General Kelly get emotional very often, and he does there. You know, it is interesting. I think most people will tell you that we all have a menstrual cycle relative to these things, and some days you can talk about them and you don't get emotional, and then other days but when they ask him about the split screen, and you can see that he looks and he sees it, the image of his son in his combat stuff, you can see his mouth immediately betray his emotion. And Robert was killed in north of us on November 9th, 2010. And you know, the guys that you hear on this program, you know, most of them knew General Kelly and knew Robert, you know, had met Robert. And so, you know, you just, and then when General Kelly was on the program, he talked about that morning. Well, in fact, it's been interesting a little bit hearing the Kelly family talk about it. He talks about an experience that he had at Bethesda a couple weeks prior to Robert being killed. And one of the things that he got an email from his son, General Kelly at the time, gets an email from his son, Robert, saying that one of his Marines, as I guess was his custom, one of his Marines was had been injured was headed back to Bethesda. Would his family go check on him? And General Kelly was, obviously always there, spent a lot of time at Bethesda, whether they were his son's Marines or other Marines. But anyway, obviously, certainly a little bit more personal, because when your son emails you and says, "Hey, Dad, would you do this?" So, but the Marine is a forward observer, and he tells General Kelly, "Sir, you got to talk to Lieutenant Kelly. He's going out too much. He's going on every patrol. At some point, his luck's going to run out." And General Kelly said, "When I heard that," he said, "I think I knew in my heart that we wouldn't see him again." And, his wife has made similar statements about, I don't know whether she had a premonition or whatnot, but kind of interesting, hearing General Kelly talk about that. You'll hear his interview, in a series of interviews that we'll put on over the course of the weekend, General Kelly, that's not the audio I was looking for. The audio I was looking for is News Today, with him talking about more attacks, like the one in Manchester, here in the United States, and that the essence of his comment is simply this: that these guys in Syria, these ISIS guys, are not going to be content to stay there,
and die. They will go back to where they came from, and they will kill people. And so, much like what you saw in Libya, was somebody who had fought in Libya, born and raised in the UK, went back to his quote unquote homeland of Libya, fought and then came back to the UK and then killed people. And Secretary Kelly warning against that today. So he in the news. Let's see. There was one other thing I wanted to get to. An email, I think it was. Hold on. Is the gunner sipping a nice cab while he's cooking a week's worth of bacon? No bacon on donuts. That from Ohio, man. Yeah, the gunner's got a lot of sides to him, believe it or not. Okay. When he walked in one day and we were talking about coffee enemas, and he said, what about them? I said, have you had a coffee enema? He said, yeah. I said, oh, sit down. We've got to talk. And, Mike, he's his own guy. He's his own guy. All right, we're gonna take about a 2-minute break and come back, and we'll finish this up as we get going towards the weekend. So this hour of Armor and Radio brought to you by our friends at the Marine Corps Mustang Association. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a on the eve of Memorial Weekend, I would be remiss if we did not take a minute to to, and as I echo General Kelly's words, those of us in this tribe of ours, we certainly don't need an annual reminder of, about honoring, the sacrifice of our nation. We live with it. I think we all think it's great for, the nation, and it's truly appropriate that the rest of the nation stops and reflects on two things. The sacrifice that it's taken to create and maintain this nation. And I want to say their obligation, what they owe the people who made this sacrifice. And in my opinion, what they owe is service. They owe to vote and they owe service in your community. And it can take the form of very, very simple things, such as donating to a food bank, donating clothes, but certainly volunteering when appropriate, and volunteering on a consistent basis to help make your community a better place. And if all of us do that, guess what? The country becomes a much better place. So with that said, you'll hear special renditions of Eternal Father. You'll hear the Navy verse, or I'm sorry, the Marine verse in here. You'll hear the ceremonial edition of the Marine hymn, and then you'll hear taps with a 21-gun salute. Our way of saying that we remember, that we'll never forget, here on the eve of Memorial Weekend. did it yesterday, but I figured I'd close with the Gettysburg Address, because I don't know that anybody's written any finer words. And I do believe it kind of transitions into our role in all of this, in the way we honor the people that have fought and the people who have given their lives for our country. And I think we all know, or at least you ought to know, that you won the Ovarian lottery to be born in the United States. And if you don't think that you can be whatever you want to in the United States, then or if you know people like that, I'd love to take them on a little trip around the world. And then when they come back, they can get down on their knees and kiss the ground and understand how fortunate they are. But Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, to me, is kind of the linking file between our responsibility for this great experiment in democracy that we live in. And so here it is. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. And again, I take from that a rededication to service to the nation in your community. So with that said, have a great weekend on a Friday before Memorial Day. You can hear Eternal Father again. So, you know what, and honestly, these songs are heartbreaking. It takes me back to different places. From the desert out in 29 Palms, where I've sung these songs and heard taps, to Camp Pendleton, to 29 Palms on the blacktop, at memorial services, at Camp Fallujah in Ramadi, at different memorial services, and at Camp Dwyer in Helmand Province. So they're terrible, terrible, sad songs, but you know what? We honor the brave Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen that have served and died for this country by playing them. And so we remember them. So one more time.